Recently, we drew attention to three capabilities of the human mind: selective memory, insight, and foresight. In these moments, we express the conviction that theological reflection and analysis of contemporary issues are to be carried on in the perspective of the mind of Christ. You and I compose our minds and do our work amidst the complexities and perils of a social crisis. As the crisis deepens in this nation and in the world, we worship Almighty God, who knows us as we are and loves us, and we live together as His children. It will be helpful, I think, for us to remember a fact set forth by Walter Rauschenbusch in the introduction to his influential volume entitled Christianity and the Social Crisis. In 1907, he wrote these words: "In a few years, all our restless and angry hearts will be quiet in death. But those who come after us will live in the world which our sins have blighted, or which our love of right has redeemed." The love of right is illuminated by the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is discoverable in the Bible, in the history of Christianity, and in contemporary life. Let us think of three places where his mind is discoverable in human relations at this moment. The mind of the living Lord is present in companionship with any person who can say honestly, as Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Companionship with such a person is not to be described in the language of science or philosophy, but in the language of friendship, of interpersonal relationship, of encounter with a person who is personally committed to Jesus Christ, who speaks the truth in love, who discerns what is possible and what is not possible, and who can be trusted. Permit me to read a poem written by a young Christian teacher in the context of a large secular university last September. It is one of the clearest attempts I have found on the part of a young, lucid mind in higher education to express the yearning for a perspective. Here are the lines. Songs of protest, songs of warning. Where have all the flowers gone? Will the grass grow brown and wither? Man annihilate the throng. Beards and flowing hair and sandals. Desperate longing for the past. Youth cry out for love and freedom. Raise the white flag on the mast. They still love you, dying parents. They are frightened. They deplore love of things and wasted riches. Piling rusted on the shore. Leave us still a little nature. Give us yet a human smile. Then the dream, surviving hopeful, God's dream, will outlive us yet a while. Companionship with a person who can write a poem like that in the context of a great impersonal secular university is a place to discover the mind of Christ. This teacher, this young teacher, thinks of Jesus Christ both as a fixed point in history and as a present reality, and interprets the predicament of at least a minority of idealistic students who are searching for a perspective, for a coherent philosophy of life. Let me repeat a few of the phrases. Desperate longing for the past. Youth cry out for love and freedom. They still love you. They are frightened. In the second place, the mind of the living Lord is discoverable not only in companionship with an individual who knows the Lord, but also in Christian fellowship. We remember the fact and the promise recorded in the 20th verse of the 18th chapter of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. At the Christmas season, we shall celebrate the birth of Jesus. But we know that he is not confined to the first half of the first century. He is present in the fellowship of his disciples at this moment, guiding their minds into the truth, delivering them from self-righteousness and pride. And I have never seen as much self-righteousness or as much pride in my lifetime as I have seen in the past 2 years. Guiding their minds into the truth, delivering them from self-righteousness and pride, pouring love into their hearts, encouraging them to live by faith, and enabling them to discern the path of righteousness amidst the tensions and complications of a technological society. In such a fellowship of committed persons, the mind of Christ is discoverable, and a perspective is available. In the third place, the mind of Christ is discoverable in the ministry of his disciples to human need. It is appropriate to ponder these words in the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Our Lord, during his earthly ministry, went where human need took him. And he noticed some people who had been in distress for as long as 25 years, almost unnoticed by anybody. I believe that our Lord becomes visible in the ministry of his disciples to human need. Sometimes this is an anguish of heart. All of us have memories of ministry to human need. Sometimes, unfortunately, the ministry came too late. I remember going as a young pastor into a home in which a mother had died in childbirth, unassisted by a physician. Although the home was located within 8 miles of two medical schools in the state of North Carolina. We found an adoptive home for the newborn babe. But the ministry to the mother came too late. I talked with some of the newsmen who were with Dr. Albert Schweitzer on his visit to the United States. They were very impressed with Dr. Schweitzer. The thing that they mentioned in their conversation and in their report, more than they mentioned anything else, was his sensitivity to the needs of people. The group with which he was traveling aborted a train in St. Louis, a Pullman car. It was Dr. Schweitzer who noticed an old woman with a somewhat heavy suitcase trying to board a coach about three cars away. And without any to do about it, it was Dr. Schweitzer who slipped out of the group and went to the woman with failing strength and carried the suitcase into the coach. It was Dr. Schweitzer who noticed a young mother under the burden of trying to care for three young children on the way to her parental home at the time of her father's death, and who assumed for a while the care of two of the young children. This was noticed by the newsman. He was sensitive to human need. I think the theology of Dr. Albert Schweitzer leaves very much to be desired. In fact, insofar as I am competent to judge, he was a very poor theologian. But he was a great Christian. And our Lord became visible in Dr. Albert Schweitzer, not only in Africa, where he went in an effort to make atonement for sin, but in the United States, in sophisticated circles, where he had a keen eye for human need. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful that in the long ago thou wert mindful of thy people and came to visit them in thy Son. We believe that thou art mindful of thy people today, and that thou art coming to visit and to redeem. Prepare us to receive thee and to take our places humbly and gratefully with those who make our Lord visible in companionship with one person, in Christian fellowship, and in ministry to those who need help. May we be teachable, tender-hearted, ready to forgive, eager to use whatever intelligence and energy we have to help and not to hurt, through Jesus Christ our Lord.